cup, I don't know about you, but it meant more today than it did the last time I took it. Appreciate the understanding to be gone last week. Andy, thank you for filling in on my, would have been my Sunday, so thank you for doing that. And for you guys being understanding, it's nice to, even for us to be able to go and see our families. And I got to see Deacon again, and Allie, and my two grandkids, and that's always fun to do. This grandkid business is all right. So I got to see Rock also. You know that story I told you several months ago about Rock, and Rock's doing really well. I told him I shared his testimony in church, and he even wanted to hear what I said about him, and I went back and listened to it, and I called him a little bitty guy, so I was kind of embarrassed about that. But I was, you know, it was in terms of, you know, knowing the Rock. You know, we all know who the Rock is. You know, he's kind of a big guy, so in comparison, he is a little skinny guy. But maybe you'll get to meet Rock one of these days. Maybe he'll come up there. I'd like for you to get to know him. This teaching began 2 weeks ago yesterday for me, and this is not, I'm just going to be real with you today and telling you what the Lord's been doing in my life over the last 2 weeks. And, you know, we're in Colossians, and the verse that I have really, when we read it, I'm sure it's one that you all have memorized. You've been spending a lot of time talking about and learning about the barbarian Scythians. But there is a lot in this verse. But what I'm trying to do today is give us some sort of a transition between Andy talking about taking off the old, and then Chuck next week will be putting on the new. Understanding transformation. And I got to stay with my notes, or we're going to be here for 3 hours, okay? And I know you don't want to do that. So I've got to stick with them today. And so I've got some pictures for you. I've done some things that hopefully will bring this together. And I've also learned this week that sermons are not like McDonald's. You don't go through the drive-through and you order what you want and you get it in 5 minutes. And so this has been days of, during my morning walk, of just learning what it is to listen, and then him speaking, and I can't wait to get to the house to write it down. And it's been a really neat time over this last couple of weeks, and so I don't take that lightly. I get frustrated, and I know most of us probably do. If you want something from God, you kind of get frustrated because he's not doing it the kind of the way you want to do it. But man, when he does it the way he wants to do it, it's a whole lot better. So if you want to turn over to Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, we're going to read that. We will not get to it till the very end. The sermon's about 2.5 minutes long. The introduction's a lot longer than that. This understanding transformation, I'm going to try to put it into applicable terms for you. Colossians 3:11. Here, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Do you ever get bogged down with big words like redemption, sanctification, justification, glorification, transformation? You just kind of throw your hands up in the air and you kind of go, well, yeah, I get all those. You ever done that? Well, this week was one of those ones where I was like, transformation, yeah. Yeah. What is that? And I started asking myself a lot of questions, or maybe God started asking them to me. Do you really know what this is? Do you really know what transformation is? We know that transformation, it comes by the renewing of our minds, but you know what transformation is. The past 2 weeks, I've been filled with questions surrounding this, so today we're going to look at what was being transformed and how. Without redemption, spiritual transformation and sanctification cannot occur. A person must be redeemed. If you're trying to clean up the old man without being redeemed or born again, frankly, you're wasting your time and energy. This is why. Put up that picture of the old man. I spent some time here. This is not just a picture. I really spent some time being careful about what I put in this picture. And we're going to go through this picture, and then I'm going to give you another picture toward the end, and we're going to kind of compare them. But there's some very crucial things that we need to understand about this picture. And you can, we'll leave it up there as I go through this, and you can kind of start putting things together, but there's some things in it that are put there on purpose. The old man. First blank there, or second blank there, this is every person ever born. No one escapes this condition at birth. To understand transformation, there's lots of things I want to put into place so we can understand transformation. So it's going to take me a little bit to get there, but these things are very important in understanding what transformation is. Okay? The old man or the old self refers to a person's formerly unsaved identity in Adam before redemption. We were all born just like that. Romans 4:12 says, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." 1 Corinthians 15:22. In Adam, as you're following along in your notes there, all die. Ephesians 2, 1 and 3. As you were once dead in your trespasses and sin in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now in the work of the sons of disobedience. What does it mean to be dead in your trespasses and sin? This really made sense once I figured this out. Okay, the Greek is locative of sphere, indicating a sphere or realm in which something or someone exists. So notice, go back to that picture, please. Yeah, thanks. So notice, where is this person born? He is born in this sphere called what? The world. Okay? And everybody is born into the sphere of this world. Now, that's not a sphere. That's two-dimensional. I know that, but it's supposed to be three. Okay? Everyone is born into this. Okay? We are not dead because we committed sin, but because we were in sin. Trespasses and sins do not refer simply to acts, but first of all to this sphere of existence that you were born into apart from God. So do you see why I put the man in the picture the way I put him in there? All right? It's the sphere that we live in. It's the physical placement in this world, born into this earth. Spiritually dead and separated from God. Dead to sin. No desire to know God. Loving the flesh and sin, because why? It's who you are. No ability or desire to be transformed or sanctified. In fact, growing and maturing in sin. It's the only thing you're spiritually capable of doing. You're so dead spiritually, you didn't have to do anything to be guilty of sinning. Listen carefully to this. I had to think twice about this, or many times. You didn't become a liar after telling a lie. You didn't become a thief after you stole something, nor did you become a sinner by committing sinful acts. We commit sin because we are sinners. Very important. Matthew 12:35 says this, the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth what? Evil. Matthew 15, 18 and 19. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. All of those things we just looked at. Because we're spiritually dead, the only things a person can do is according to the course of this world. That's what Ephesians 2 says there. Controlled by the prince of this world, with a spirit that is in the work of the sons of disobedience. MacArthur says, quote, death manifests itself in many different forms and degrees, but death itself has no degree. Sin manifests itself in many different forms and degrees, but the state of sin itself has no degrees. Not all men are as evil as they could be, but fail to measure up to God's perfect standard. End quote. Thus, the old man is separated from God and will continue to become more sinful. The longer he lives, the old man, the better he becomes more comfortable in sinning. It's true, isn't it? He likes it because it feeds that which he is. Man was not born empty. He was born with the old nature, and the only thing he desired to do was what pleased the old nature. If you sow an apple seed, what do you expect to get? An apple tree, don't you? You sow that seed, it gets watered, and what comes out of the ground first? A stem. Well, you know that's an apple tree because why? You planted the seed. It was apple seed. That thing's going to grow and mature, and it's going to produce apples. Why? It's the only thing it can produce. If you plant an apple seed and think you're going to get oranges, you're going to be waiting a while. That's the way it is. The apple seed was only going to grow an apple tree and produce apples because that's all it could do. The old man here, dead to sin, dead spiritually, no hope, hostile toward God. Remember, we're trying to understand transformation here, so let's understand the part of the old man. Now, let's switch to the new man. Go ahead and add that picture. Very carefully put some things in this picture also, see if you can identify them before the sermon is over with. I won't give you a test, but we'll see. This is the saved or redeemed person there in your notes. The person who has repented and believed upon Jesus and made him Lord and Savior. Let's review what happened here quickly. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I was captivated with a four-letter word in that verse, and I'll let you think about this over the next two or three, 4 days if you want to. If you want to do a study, I want you to concentrate on the word with. I had the old man is crucified with Christ. Just ponder that for a few minutes, and then you can do your own Bible study for the next week on that if you want to. It's very important that we understand that the old man is crucified with Christ. He's not cleaned up. He's not being transformed into something better. And he's not being purified. The old man is what? He is crucified, meaning gone, dead, not alive, dead, really dead. Okay? I mean, dead as a doornail. That's what it is. We must understand that the old man is dead and gone. Jesus gave us a completely new heart, soul, and mind. He took the old out and he was rid of, he got rid of it, and he placed a beautiful, brand new seed inside of us. Romans 6:6, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin, for the one who has died has been set free from sin. The Greek word for old does not refer to something old in years, but to something that is worn out and useless. Now, that he's replaced this old with the new, we now have the ability to change from the inside out. Okay? To be transformed. To be sanctified. Oh, that's really nice, but what is that to be transformed? What does that mean? Remember, the old man could never produce anything righteous. But now that Jesus made all things new, we have been given the ability and the desire to be like him and to allow him to transform us. We do not transform ourselves. He transforms us through the renewing of our minds, there in your notes, through the Word of God, as Andy spoke of last week. But you know what? We have responsibility in that. He doesn't read it for us. He doesn't study it for us. We do that. If you look at these pictures and you try to, and you compare them, remember we're looking at what transformation is. Notice in the picture that the world is the same. The sphere is the same, isn't it? Yes? Okay? The guy looks the same. One's just happier than the other. Notice the clothes he's got on. I'd left him there on purpose. Same clothes, doesn't he? Nobody changed his clothes. They changed the seed. They changed what's on the inside. Remember, we're talking about transformation. This is very important. The old, he's liar, thief, adulterer, murderer. It's kind of sad. He should be dead. But he's alive to working in you. You're a new creation. All things are made new. He's happy, but he still has the same clothes on. Transformation looks a little bit like this. The new man, born again, alive to his workmanship. The new man is this, alive in Christ, delivered from the domain of darkness, transferred to the kingdom of his Son. The record of sin and debt is canceled. We have an inheritance. We're citizens of the household of God. Our perishable became imperishable now. What he placed inside of us. We have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, as we looked at a few weeks ago. We have relationship with Jesus. We're able to communicate with him. We are a priest. We have a direct line to God the Father through Jesus Christ. The Word of God, the Bible, becomes meaningful and understandable. You've been indwelt and filled with the Holy Spirit. The eyes of your heart have been enlightened. You are created for good works. You have peace with God. Are you getting tired of these yet? You are able to grow in sanctification, transformation. The new man is from heaven. He's no longer of this world. We now have the ability to obey God. The new man is ready for growth. Okay, so before you were redeemed, you weren't ready for growth. You were growing in sin. Now you've been is redeemed. He comes to faith in Christ, and now the Lord is able to do something in your life because he planted a new seed there. He didn't just change one. Think about this. When a baby is born, he's really dependent upon mom and dad, isn't he? The baby begins to grow and mature because mom and dad feed him. They nourish him. They give him a place, him or her a place to live. They do their job, and the baby then becomes a toddler, a boy, a teenager, a young man, a man, growing according to where he lives and what he's been given. just like the new man. The new man, because of the seed that's been planted in him, is now able to grow and mature in Christ. Spiritually speaking, by what he consumes, the Word and its application. And I'd encourage all of us to become more mature in Jesus. Bo, my second son, he was traveling last summer down to Dallas to a wedding. He got between Oklahoma City and Dallas, and his car quit alongside the road. He called me and says, "Dad, I think I ran out of gas." I said, "What makes you think that?" "Well, it said I had like 20 miles to go, but I hadn't gone 20 miles. It had to be, you know, okay for me to go, because you know the little things on your car now that say, oh, you got 20 miles. You know, of course, he fully trusted it. But he's sitting on the side of the road, and he said, "What do I do?" I said, "Well, fortunately, Trina's parents live about 30 minutes from there, and so he called Rex, and they got him some gas, and they went down there, and they poured the gas in the car, and it still didn't work. Come to find out, they end up having to have it towed, and they towed it to Oklahoma City, and the engine was blown up. So we called the greatest mechanic on creation, Brian Milburn, right here. Yes, he's very good at what he does. And we get the car home, and Brian pulls the engine out of it. He says, "Yep, you're going to need a new engine." You know why? Because there was a hole about that big in the side of it. We had to take the old engine out and put a brand new engine in. Starting to make sense a little bit here? That's the way the old man is. It's blown up. There's nothing good in it. It's never going to work. It's never going to work. If you're sitting here today and you don't know Christ, the old engine you're running is dead. It's got a hole in it, and you can't fill it. Okay? You got to have the engine taken out, and you got to have a new one put in. That's where the transformation's coming. We're almost there. Have you ever heard people say, "You got a hole in your heart, and Jesus is the one that can fill it"? No, you don't. You got a bad engine, and you need a new one. So who and what is being transformed and how? Here's the who. Colossians 3, verse 1. If you've been raised with Christ, that's who? That's the believer. I thought they were a new creation. They are. So what's being transformed? You see the question that I had to get to? I knew all of this stuff, or a lot of it, and putting it into focus here, I wanted to get down to what is being transformed. Well, here's the what. It is the corrosion, there in your notes, of the new heart. Look at the picture. You still have the same old clothes on, and you still live in the same domain. Okay, he put that new seed in you. You're imperishable now. But because of where we live, what causes corrosion? In 1 Peter it says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." Your home is not here. It is in heaven. And let God continue to transform. Keep the corrosion off the new creation. Couldn't help but think of Chapel a couple of weeks ago. He was wanting to have some friends over, and we got this hot tub in the backyard. And he goes out and pulls the lid off the hot tub. There's nobody going to get in that thing. I mean, it was dirty and nasty and stuff growing in it. I mean, I don't care what you put in that thing. It was not going to get better. And so he spends a few hours, and he pumps the water out of it, and he cleans it up. And, I mean, he does everything right, and he fills it up with brand new water. couple days later, he didn't do anything else to it. He just put new water in it. And a couple days later, his friends come over, or they're going to come over. He goes out there and takes the lid off of it. And what do you think's happened? It's green again. Well, he put new water in it. So do you think we cleaned it out this time? Nope. We started putting chemicals in it, chlorine. And what? About 10 minutes, it was clean, just like that. Water started rushing through it, and that started circulating and got cleaned up. He put new water in, and it still got dirty. Why did it get dirty? It got dirty because we live in this world. It's dirty and nasty. It's just a picture. My examples, I'm sure, have holes in them somewhere. But it just was so clear to me that that's what happens. This is what transformation is. God gave us a clean, pure heart. But because of where we live, we allow this sin and flesh to get involved, and then it has to be transformed. The believer is a new creation, just like a baby when they grow. When the believer begins to grow, the old clothes begin to get replaced with new ones. What is on the inside is now able to change that which is on the outside. The problem is there isn't much knowledge or wisdom in the baby Christian. God replaced the old man with the new creation. He supplied the Word of God for growth. So He gave you everything that you need to grow, as Andy taught us the last couple of weeks. But Paul tells us what we need to do to be transformed. So what is being transformed then is the character, mind, and inner man, which affects the outward appearance and actions of the new believer. The way this occurs is through the knowledge and wisdom from God. The knowledge and wisdom from God comes from the Word of God, the preaching and teaching of the Word. Guys, we must saturate ourselves with it so that we may not lose the fight with the flesh and be sanctified. That's what we talked about there in 1 Peter 2:11-12. Peter urges us to abstain from those things. And in verse 12, he tells us why to abstain from them. That they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. What causes this corrosion and what we do? What causes the corrosion and what do we do about it? Well, sin, it's succumbing to the desires of the flesh. Well, how do we fix it? As Andy said last week, it begins with repentance and it ends with the washing of the Word. Putting on, which Chuck will cover next week in his sermon. We can't just do something bad, okay? We can't just not do something bad. The bad must be replaced with something good. Andy talked about that last Sunday. Even Paul struggled with his transformation and sanctification. You can read about that over in Romans 7, verses 18 through 25. Why is transformation so important? Number one, it benefits the growth of the individual. And secondly, it also benefits the growth of the church. Now we're getting somewhere, aren't we? Transformation's not about making you a better person, although it will. Transformation is about the advancement of the kingdom of God through individuals as a body through the church. So you have responsibility to God in both areas of maturity. These come from Ephesians 4:11 through 16. I won't read those verses just strictly because of time. But your growth spiritually is vital to this body and to the body of Christ and its functioning. Think about your own body. If you stump your toe, you limp, don't you? Your body's not 100%. It hurts. If you break your arm, then you become one-armed. It's hard to function properly without that other arm, isn't it? Not to say it can't, but it's harder. If you smash your thumb, you can't function properly either. It affects the body. The body needs each part to fully function and advance the kingdom. So whichever part you are is very, very important to this body and to the body of Christ. For the advancement of the kingdom. That's why it's important for you to mature individually And then as you mature individually, we can mature as a body. Each person has a different part in building the church. So be transformed, be sanctified. Try to move on to one more step in maturity, then another. Understand each has a different part in the building of the church. Christianity is not a phase, a trend, or a fad. It's a lifelong process. Don't grow in age. Grow in spiritual maturity. Don't be a mile wide and an inch deep. Always know there's more growth to come. Again, knowledge of the Word is essential in the continual growth of the individual, which is essential for the growth of the church. You never grow independent of Jesus. It's always in Him. The measure for maturity is Jesus. Colossians 1:28, Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. As Andy said, the more you know, the more you show. Lastly, there is a day coming when our bodies will match our hearts, and the struggle with the flesh will be over with. In conclusion, Colossians 3:11. We won't read it again. I brought transformation of the church into the picture because Paul does that very same thing here in verse 11. Go ahead and put it up there if you want to. During this time in Colossae, as there now is now in our country, there were great differences in culture. There was religious controversy, racial divides, and social barriers. Paul uses some interesting examples here, but he uses the Greek and the Jews, the Greeks. He uses the circumcised and the uncircumcised. These groups were nearly impossible to bring together because of their differences. They had nothing to do with each other. They were both equally indifferent to each other. They didn't like each other. They wouldn't eat together. They went to one another's country or house or whatever. They'd shake the dust off their feet when they came home. The Jews wouldn't enter a Gentile's house. Great animosity toward each other. Then we have the barbarians, the Scythians. How in the world did they get in there? Why would Paul mention these guys? These guys weren't even close to being civilized. They were not well spoken. They uttered speech you couldn't even understand. They were the most feared of the barbarians. They were known for their savage